Please turn with me tonight to the first book of the Bible, right to the beginning, Genesis chapter 4, and I read verse 16. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. So my subject tonight is the way of Cain. The way of Cain. This is, in my simple view, one of the saddest, by far, one of the saddest verses of the Bible. But my dear friends, it comes with great grace. Here is a man, Cain, surrounded with so many privileges. He had his circumstances were just wonderful. Right at the beginning, the creation in the beginning, but he is a man who willfully, deliberately rejected his maker. Oh, what a sad condition! But remember, this is the war. This is the enmity prophesied back. We don't have time to turn to the verse. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The enmity between faith, real faith, saving faith, and unbelief, unsaving religions. Enmity between God and Satan. Enmity between the kingdom of God, heaven, and the kingdom of this world and hell. So that enmity is really taking place now. For the wages, as the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Cain, because it is about him we are going to speak. Cain portraits, illustrates all non-believers who are angry, blaming God to be unfair. Oh, his crime reveals the cruelty, but also the barbaric face of unbelief. You want to know how unbelief is savage, how unbelief is cruel? Oh, just look at the life of Cain. His sin, as we know, is well duplicated in our society today. We see it everywhere. It is rampant. It is propagated everywhere. And it is in our society. Oh, my dear friends, with all respect, I'm saying this in the most polite way I could. Do you know what the Bible says? We are all murderers. We are all criminals. We are all proud people. We are all self-righteous people. And this is our identity before the living God. We kill in so many ways. We kill other people's reputation. We kill their happiness. Women killing babes in their wombs, thinking that this is right. It is not right. It is murder, because that tiny child in the embryo is already a human being. It has a soul. And you will give account before the Lord about that murder, that homicide. It is homicide. It is assassination. But as I said, we kill in so many ways. But the greatest, the top murder, do you know what is the top murder? Is the murder of the soul. And we are all guilty of it. If you are an unsaved person, may I tell you tonight before God, you stand before him as a murderer, because you are murdering your own soul. It is a suicide, really. You are killing yourself. And when you present yourself before God to be judged, there is nothing to present. Oh, my friends, we have to look at these things. Cain got rid of his brother. You know why? Because he could not get rid of God. Many people, it's not just about unbelief, but many people in our world, they say we believe in God, we love God. But you guess what? You know why they say those things? They want only a small God. They want a God created in their image. They want a God who only provides. They want a God only who blesses. They want a God whom they can twist like a servant. Help me in my exam. Help me in this pandemic. Help me in my marriage. Help me in my job. This is all we are making of God, just a servant. But God is a master. He is God over all. He made heaven and earth. But this is not the kind of God we see in the Bible. He is God Almighty. And he is heaven, we read in the scriptures. Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. This is a great God, my dear friends. But you see, like Cain, why can't we love God? Like Cain, we have all been marked. Verse 15 says that Cain has received a mark. Please don't speculate about that mark. We do not know what is the mark. But let me tell you, that mark is not about a horn. It's not about a tattoo. It's not about a hairstyle. It's not about a number on his forehead. But that mark is really sin. And we are all marked according to the word of God. All have sinned and come short to the glory of God. So what is God going to do with us? I have simple things to present before you tonight as we look at the way of Cain. My first heading is really to look at the two sons. But remember, the two sons are only revealing to us two lines, the line of God and the line of the enemy of our soul, Satan. But you see, we are not given details about the two sons, Cain and Abel. We are not given their boyhood. We are not given their adolescence. We are not given about their upbringing, what kind of education they have received. We are not given those details. But for sure, the greatest detail we are given as we study their lives is that they were born of Adam and Eve. Born of Adam, from Adam. But more than that, according to the New Testament, they were born in Adam. You know what it means to be born in Adam? It means we are lost. It means we are depraved. It means sin has done its effect in us. We are by nature sinners and we live in a fallen world because of the sin of our first parent. So all of us have been carried away, and our identity before the living God, before a holy God, is that we are sinners, lost. And because we are lost, we need a Savior. So both of them were born in Adam, and Bible says in Adam we die, but in Christ we shall live. That is the difference. That's why I spoke about the two lines. One is the righteous line, to belong to God, to believe in the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other one is to believe in self, to believe in this world, to believe that there is no life after death, and to believe that you can be saved by good works. No, it is impossible. So by nature and by their upbringing, these two young men, if I may use that word about them, because that time they lived so long. But let's say they were two young men, but by their upbringing they were equal. By nature, by their condition, by their education, by their upbringing, they were all equal. But let me tell you, there was a huge difference. You know what is the huge difference? One willfully rejected grace, but the other joyfully received grace. Oh, my friend, if you really want to receive that grace tonight, it is free of charge. You don't have to do any pilgrimage. You don't have to have a bucket or a pool filled with tears. You don't have to go anywhere. You can come trembling to the living God in repentance and faith, trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ. One willfully rejected grace, the other received it. But let me tell you who they are. The first one, I start with the maybe what is called the younger brother, Abel. You know the name Abel, Havel, means really insubstantial. It means pointless. It means breath. It means vanity. That's the meaning of his name. But there are beautiful things said about Abel in the Bible. He is the first man to exercise faith, as we see here in Genesis chapter 4. He is the first man to be buried in this world. He is the first man whose soul was lifted up to enter into heaven. He is, if I may say, the first gospel preacher. Even in Genesis chapter 4 here, through his offering, through his sacrifice, we can see that it was a way of preaching the gospel. But the Lord Jesus Christ said to us that Abel was a prophet, but Christ also said that Abel was a righteous man. You know, to be a righteous man, there is no way to. It's not the church who decides who is a righteous man or who is a saint or who is a holy person. It is by salvation, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abel has received something great. What has he received? He has received a new heart. Sinner by nature, sinner by choice, sinner by practice, sinner by principle. But now he has received a new heart. That is the great difference. But now let me tell you about Cain. If Abel was a shepherd, Cain was a farmer. Please don't listen to anyone who tells you that there is a conflict or there was a conflict between shepherds and farmers, or shepherds are better than farmers. This is not in the Word of God. The two are hard workers. If only you have seen what it means to be a shepherd or to be a farmer, it's a great work, heavy work, it's a load of work. So the conflict, it's not about their employment or the kind of job they were doing. But the difference you can see here, Cain is a murderer. If Abel was the first martyr, Cain, apart from Satan, who is the father of all lies and the murderer, the first murderer, really, Cain follows his master, who is Satan. You know, if Abel means breath, vapor, insubstantial, Cain's names mean acquisition. I want it. I have the power to get it. Pride. That's really the meaning of his name. And Cain is mentioned three times in the New Testament. He is mentioned in 1 John chapter 3. He is mentioned in the letter of Jude. He is also mentioned in the letter to the Hebrews. But you see, always in the negative. Always in the negative. This man. Never. Why? Because he is the father of all sham religions. Unsaving religions. Those who believe that a man can be saved by good works, it is just impossible. Oh, my dear friends, how much good works can you do to please the living God who owns everything, who owns heaven and earth? That's why salvation must only be grace in order to be received. So that's about Cain, really. Oh, Cain, he dashed really all hopes. When he was born, his mother thought, this is the man who is going to lift us up. This is the man who is going to be our redeemer. But we can see here, he dashed all hopes. He was a self-worshipper. He was a self-admirer. If I may exaggerate by saying, this is the father of the selfie generation. It started here. Why? Because his worship is shallow. His worship is casual. He didn't take anything seriously. Like many people in our world today, everything is light. They take the name of God in vain. They take it to swear. Oh, God is great, my dear friends. So this is really about the two sons showing to us and revealing to us the two lines. But I must come to the second heading, which is here before us in verse 3. We can see their offerings. And we are told in verse 3, Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought off the fruit of the ground and an offering unto the Lord. And verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. There was an appointed day. The text says it. And in the process of time, it came to pass. They knew about it. How did they know about it? Oh, they must have been taught by their parents. Their parents have told them that God has appointed a day. And how do we know that? Back in Genesis chapter 2, God has appointed a holy day, a special day. And that day, but also he appointed a place for worship. It's not just a day, but also a place for worship. And now here is Cain. Cain brought his gift, his offering. It was a natural gift. Just imagine him as a farmer bringing a beautiful basket of the fruit of his crops, 100% organic. I don't believe actually there is anything 100% organic, because from the beginning, from Genesis chapter 3 already, the soil, the ground has been cursed. But just imagine Cain bringing that beautiful basket of his crops, 100% whatever, and so proud about it, and he brings it before the living God. But being the firstborn, you know what he should have brought? We read it from the rest of the Bible. He should have brought the first fruits, the best fruits. But when you read the text, he brought like his leftover, things that he doesn't need. He didn't take it seriously. He was casual about it, and he was careless. My dear friends, that's the difference. When we come to the living God, we have to be serious about it. Do you really want to be saved? Oh, yes. Lord, I see myself. I couldn't save myself. I come to thee with fear and trembling, trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can see the text says to us that the giver and the gift were rejected by God. But now what about Abel? I don't want to stress and emphasize too much on it, because there is more we can say. But Abel came also. He did the same with his offering. And guess what? When he came, he gave the pick of his flocks, the pick, the choicest, the better part of everything he had. And don't neglect that word. We are told that he brought also the fat of his animal. He brought it before the living God. The choicest, the best, the pick of his flock. Why? And the fat. But it was mixed with faith. That is the difference. Cain came with his own idea, with his own way, not trusting the way God has said it, has taught them. But Abel instead came according to what God has prescribed in his word. We read it. How do we know? When we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, we read that Abel believed, and in his offering, he brought his offering mixed with faith. And we read in verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, my dear friends, saving faith was the channel. If I may pause here to tell you, this is what you need. Not just any kind of faith, but saving faith. Trusting in what God has done. Not trusting in your own prowess, in your own merits, in your own goodness, in your own education, in your own pedigree. Nothing as such can be acceptable before the living God. And Abel was accepted because his offering was mixed with faith. The blood of animals, we read back in Genesis chapter 3, had to be shed. When Adam and Eve have sinned against the living God, blood had to be shed in order to atone for their sins. So Abel understood that, and he recognized that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He acknowledged before God that he was a sinner who needs a redeemer. The lamb he offered on that day was only a picture of Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But I believe I align my thoughts here with Martin Luther, the German theologian. You know what he said? He said, even if Abel just brought the shell of a nut, just the shell of a nut, his sacrifice will be more pleasing to the living God than the sacrifice of Cain. Why? Because Abel's sacrifice was by faith. It's not a matter of what he brought, but how he brought it. That is the big difference between the two. But Cain was saying, instead of saying, I need a redeemer, he was saying to God, actually, I'm not a sinner. Why do I need a mediator? I don't need God. I can do it by myself. And as people tell us today, when you preach the gospel to them, when you give them a gospel tract, the first thing they say, I'm okay. No, we are not okay without God, my dear friends. We are not okay. We are going downhill. And if we stand before the living God without a Savior, we will be judged. We'll be just like Cain with his offering. And as we said, the giver and the gift were both rejected by the living God. But Abel recognized that he needs a Savior. And he came to the living God by faith in obedience to God. But the third thing I want to put before you is Cain's sins. He had many of them. By the way, when you read the scriptures, this is the first time in Genesis chapter 4 where the word sin is mentioned. This is where it started, really. We know the fall is a chapter earlier in Genesis chapter 3, but the word sin, sin lieth. It is there at the door of your life. But you see, the sin mentioned here was caused by anger, arrogance, hatred, pride, self-righteousness. It is in every one of us, but it is also caused by dissimulation and hypocrisy. We see it here. One sin led to another one in the life of Cain. Oh, my dear friends, if I may say to you, sin is a slave master. Sin is merciless. You know, sin sticks to us like a shadow. Sin is malicious. Sin is like a wild beast. Sin is like a serpent. And sin creates in us alienation and confusion. That's all what it does in you and me. That's why, covered with sin, everywhere with sin upon in our hearts, in our consciences, in everything about us, we will never have the favor of the living God, because he is holy, millions and millions times holy. And we need to be purified from our sins in order to approach him. And I believe there is a storm brewing here. Do you see the storm? God comes to him. It is from verse 5 to verse 7. And God interviews Cain. And God interviews Cain as he interviews each one of us. And my dear friends, when God asks questions, it is never to get information. But he interviews us in order that we open our hearts to him. This is me, Lord, a wretched sinner. Be merciful to me. That is what God was expecting from Cain. Why are you angry, God says to him. Why are your countenance fall? Why are you in this situation? Why are you in this mood? Will your anger change anything? And as I keep saying, behind anger, there is pride. Behind anger, there is self-centeredness, selfishness. This is unself-righteousness. It doesn't achieve anything. So God asks him, why are you angry? And in verse 8, as you can see, his sin was premeditated. He disclaimed all personal responsibility and guilt about his sin. Oh, my dear friends, don't blame Cain. We all know well how to cover our sins. We cover it until we are found. We cover it because we are just embarrassed. We cover it because we are put to shame, but not because really we mean it. Unbelief is only concerned about the consequences. That is why there are so many shallow repentance, so much shallow repentance in many people's life, because they are only concerned about the consequences of sin, not about sin itself. And that is the difference again between Abel and Cain. Where is your brother? God says to him. Why is your brother not with you in this morning service or in this evening service? Why is he not in this worship service today? God asked him. But look at his answer. Am I my brother's keeper? Can you see his insolence here? Oh, what an insolent boy. What an insolent young man. He's lying. He's lying. He knows perfectly well where was his brother. He just buried him. He just slew him. He just killed him. Unlike Adam and Eve, you remember when God interviewed Adam and Eve, when he said, Adam, where art thou? Adam and Eve were blame shifters. But you see the difference with Cain? He was in denial. No, I have never done that. Oh, if only he was like David, you know, in Psalm 51, when David was caught, when the prophet Nathan challenged him about his sin, in his confession he said, against thee and thee alone I have done this evil thing. That is real repentance in order to be saved, my dear friends. Cain pretended to be the victim. And God warns us and warns us. But will he repent? No, his heart is only hardening and hardening all the time. And you can see God tells him, here is the problem, and the problem is sin. And in verse 11 and 12, we see the verdict. God is going to give him the verdict. And from now on, end of verse 12, he will be a fugitive and a vagabond. Thou shalt be in the earth. The first man ever to be born in this world from a man and a woman is going now, because of unbelief, is going to be a vagabond, a reject, a pariah, and a fugitive towards his own family. He is rejected by the living God. And this is the situation and the condition of every sinner without the Savior. My dear friends, if you are not converted tonight, may I tell you, you are just a fugitive with no purpose in life. And that is your state. But now I want to show you, maybe you thought this is all negative. Look at the mercy of God. As I started in my sermon tonight, I told you this is one of the saddest verses of the Bible, but it comes with great grace. Look at the grace of God. In verse 11 and in verse 14, to the very end, God was reasoning with him. But in verse 14, you can see Cain was only concerned and absorbed by self. God will promise him protection and provision, but he was only getting worse and worse. My dear friends, I'm sure you know by now, things would have been different if only Cain stood up and he said, Lord, I'm a sinner, I'm a liar, I'm a murderer, I'm a wretched sinner. Oh, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Things would have been different. But as I said, please don't throw any stone to Cain. We are all like Cains. We are like him. We are offended like all sinners. We are offended by the free grace of God. We are offended when we are told that salvation is by grace through faith alone. Oh no, I don't believe in that. That is too simple. I want to contribute. My dear friends, the gospel is simple and salvation must be of the Lord. Otherwise, nobody will be saved. Nobody. But we are offended by the free grace of God. God provided the perfect sacrifice in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, Abel We read it in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. The blood of Abel speaks and cries for vengeance. But guess what? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, among his seven last words, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Father, forgive them." The blood of Abel speaks of guilt. We are guilty. Our conscience tells us the heaviness of guilt in the life of a sinner. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cries of grace, not guilt, but grace. The blood of Abel speaks about the ground open to receive it. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about heaven opened to receive a repenting sinner. Oh, my dear friends, the blood of Abel cries on earth, just on earth, and the cries goes up to heaven. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cries from the mercy seat, from heaven there, coming down on this earth. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He came down from heaven to earth to die on the cross of Calvary for sinners like us. My dear friends, Cain silenced his brother. He silenced his conscience, but he could not silence God. A man who was so brave, so courageous to kill his own brother, guess what? Now he is only a vagabond. He is only a fugitive running away. Bible says, I must tell you this, Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. And this man, when he left the Lord, the face of the Lord, he went and built a city. And instead of showing his repentance by even naming that city of the name of God, he named it after his own son. We read in the rest of the text. But guess what? The name he gave to the city is Nod. And the word Nod in Hebrew means actually exile, exodus, banishment. And he gave the name, the man who is called acquisition with pride, now he is banished from the face of God. And in verse 16, we read the verse, Genesis chapter 4, verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He went out from the presence of the Lord, never to see the face of God again. Oh, my dear friends, he built a city. He founded a family, but may I tell you before I close, nothing can replace the personal relationship with God. You can be surrounded with goodies, you can be surrounded with pedigrees, you can be surrounded with money, but you see, even in this pandemic, many people are asking the pandemic to be over, not really to think about the purpose of life, but we are just like small children. Our toys have been taken away from us, and we are crying back to our toys, back to our sins, back to our old life. That's all what we want. But you see, no matter what goodies and niceties you can be surrounded by, unless you have a personal relationship with God, nothing of those things will do any good to your soul. That's why Ecclesiastes, the prophet, the preacher, the professor said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity without God. But let me close. I want to show you, as I close again, the grace of God. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. And God speaks to him. God dialogues with him as he did with Adam and Eve. And he says to him, if thou doest well. He cannot do well. A sinner cannot do well because he's a sinner. It is God by grace telling him, you will never be able to be perfect. You will never be able to find your way by yourself. Believe in God. Believe in me. So God was reasoning with him and telling him, draw nigh unto me. My dear friends, to be forgiven, I must own my sins. They are mine. They are mine. It's only me. I don't care for others, but it's me who have sinned against the living God. And without Christ, may I tell you, sin will always lie
at the door of your life like a wild beast.
And you will never be able to defeat it. But when you come to Christ, he gives you power. He gives you dominion. He gives you, you are more than conqueror. You overcome sin. The way of Cain is death. The way of Abel leads to Christ. The way of Christ leads to eternal life. It leads to salvation. And it leads to eternal life. The way to Christ leads to acceptance of God, peace in the soul, salvation, adoption, answer to prayers, new nature, new heart, holiness, and heaven. Christ was not a martyr. He was a divine sacrifice. In John chapter 10, verse 15, he said, I have power to give my life, and I have power to take it back. That's why he was put on a cross, he was put in a grave, but on the third day he was risen from the dead by his own power. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, we read that the blood of Christ, the blood of Abel still speaks. But the blood, the life of Cain also still speaks. It speaks about the misery of unbelief. My dear friends, unbelief has no future. But faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. Abel's blood cannot atone for one single sin. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful to atone for all sinners who come to him in repentance and faith. Faith in him is the only currency that is accepted in heaven. The blood of Christ speaks a better word. On the cross of Calvary, justice has been done over our sins. Oh, listen to Abel's voice. He still speaks. His blood still speaks. But the blood of Jesus Christ speaks even better and greater. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the blood that cleanses us from all our sins. May I challenge you? Run to Calvary. Come to Calvary. Make it a place where God, at that altar, actually, God provided all that is necessary, the most precious offering to save sinners. In Christ, we have a sacrifice. In Christ, we have a better sacrifice. In Christ, we have a most excellent sacrifice. In Christ, we have a well-respected sacrifice. You see the difference? He is the Savior of the world for every repenting sinner. Oh, my dear friends, I wish I have time to tell you more. But to have Christ is to have everything. Everything. Nothing is missing in this world, but also in the world to come. God's favor is only secured in the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee the way of Cain. It is large. It is spacious. But it leads to perdition. Come to the way of Christ. It is narrow, but it leads to eternal life. Come to Christ, yield your life to him, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee again. Oh Lord, we are so undeserving, we confess it. If thou do not save souls, no human words will ever prevail. But we put our trust in thee, depending on the power of thy Spirit, that thou will be gracious even to one person, even this night, Lord, that we may hear after this pandemic is over that somebody has found the Lord Jesus Christ by avoiding the way of Cain that leads to perdition, but coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, deal with us this coming week. Bless those who are struggling. Bless every seeker. Open our eyes. Bless those who do not feel well. We think about them, Lord, that thou will grant them great relief and uphold them and lift them up, Lord, that they may be able to serve thee wholeheartedly. We give thee thanks, Lord, and ask all these mercies in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 409. Hymn number 409.